Welcome to the Sunday Robcast, episode 19, sponsored by the Feed Baron, Twice Barry Drum, Battler Apparel, and Summer Turnbull PT. Today we're at Harlaw Park in Inverurie in the boardroom. Very nice to. I'm not usually welcomed in the sort of boardroom. I'm usually the riffraff. Joined with Inverurie Locals captain Greg Mitchell. How are you doing, pal?
Yeah, all good, mate.
All good. Yeah, all good, mate. All good. Good Christmas.
Yeah, very good. Just spent time with family. Christmas Eve, me and the missus just went out for a bit of food. Got in the mood by going to the Panto and
Aberdeen Panto.
Yeah, Aberdeen Panto. And then Christmas Day was up at her family's, Boxing Day my family's. So
few beers.
Aye, few beers. You know me.
Kick arse at it.
Boxing Day, aye. Christmas Day, it's one of them. You know yourself, you're eating that much food and
you can't get drunk. Aye.
So Boxing Day, I made sure I made up for it.
You off work?
Yeah, off work till the 4th of January. So
oof. New Year, going to go out?
We've actually just booked last night. We're away to Galway.
Oh, nice one.
So, we booked it last night. So, we're away. Well, we play tomorrow, obviously, against Turriff. Yeah. And then we've had an early flight on the 31st. So, 31st to the 2nd there and then home. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
We'll obviously get into it when we get into the body of that. But see, obviously, this level of football high in league, until you're in it, you don't really realise how serious it is. See stuff like that in your life, because you've obviously done it for so long. See booking everything around football, you're probably just used to it now, eh?
It's something that it took me a while to get used to when I sort of came out of the full-time football side of things, because you thought part-time, this wasn't any disrespect to me at the time, you thought part-time, well, you've got a job now, so you can still do certain things.
Yeah.
And quickly, when I first came to Locos, for sure, I understood that you don't go away.
Yeah.
And you've signed a contract, you're here for games, you're here for training. So now it's difficult, very difficult to obviously work things around, but it works.
Yeah. Does it bother you at all, nah? Is there any times where you're like...
It does for certain things, but like, for example, this year we had one of my mate's weddings was away in Cyprus during the season.
Yuck.
So I took the decision not to go because of the role that I'm in now, and I didn't want to be seen letting my teammates down, but then you feel like you've let your mate down. So it's difficult when things like that come about, but if I'm being honest, look, I've signed a contract here and that's what I'm about. I'm here to play football, semi-professional level, so I'll stick by that.
Love it. So we're going to go back to the start. Has it always been football you've played?
Always been football from an early age. Was just started... sort of kicking the ball in the back garden with my dad, and he would take me down to the park, and sort of from there, you know yourself, Colney Boys Club or Colney Park Football Club.
Yeah.
The opportunity came to go and play youth football there. So I think it was under eights I sort of started with Colney. And you turn up and there was about 40 boys there, and at the time, yes, it was giving the people in Inverurie to give them the opportunity to go and play football at a young age, but sort of like 40 boys there that they needed to rattle down into three squads to play. I think it was five aside,
five,
then seven aside.
Fives, yeah.
So it was up at the Astro, which was the old Astro at the time, which was like a hockey pitch.
Oof.
So at the time, there was no training kit. You would just turn up in your own kit. But sort of my first memories were that, I don't know if you know him, the late Dodd Reed. He set up Colney Park.
Right, so
Dodd was in a wheelchair, an unbelievable man. What he'd done for football for Colney Park was out of this world, really. And Dodd sort of gave you the opportunity for young Inverurie boys to just go and play football with their mates.
Yeah.
And then from there, it got sort of rattled down into three teams, which was your Colney Park, your Colney Colts, and your Colney Pumas. I got put into the Park team, which was taken by a guy called Eddie Reed.
So was that the Big Dogs?
That was the Big Dogs at the
time. It was, of course.
It was the Big Dogs at the time. So was putting the squad there, and still playing with mates and everything like that, and local boys, which was great for me.
Because that's one thing I've noticed, people listening to this will probably be the same. I can't really think of a town that are so town-related like Inverurie.
Yeah.
Like Inverurie, you don't really, like, everything's very Inverurie based.
It's one of them. If you see someone not from here, like, who's that?
Yeah.
No, it's one thing that they've always been football related wise. Everyone sort of sticks together, and Colney certainly gave me the opportunity to start my football career.
Always been a defender?
No, believe it or not, I was actually a midfielder. I was a centre midfielder the early days at Colney, and then when I moved on to Aberdeen, moved was playing centre mid all the time, really. Try to sort of be like an attacking midfielder, and obviously now it's changed a wee bit. Getting older, I'll be in goal soon. But no, it really started off in midfield, and I think any young kid, can you want to be scoring goals, you want to be attacking, and then sort of the older I got and you develop into playing against bigger boys, then I sort of turned into a fullback. So
when did the Aberdeen thing come about? When can you remember kind of hearing about it?
I remember it very well, actually. Yeah. I was, at the time, when you're playing for Colney, you play against the likes of your Albion, your Dice, midfield, clubs like that. But at the time, Aberdeen were new, so I think they started at under 8.
Okay.
So you're playing against them quite regularly. It was like a little mini league, so you play probably Aberdeen, I don't know, once a month.
Okay.
So my time at Colney was quite short-lived.
Yeah.
Got the opportunity. I played at a tournament. It was a Dawnside tournament, and we won the tournament. And I remember coming home, and it's quite funny, actually. These tournaments, when the parents go, they used to quite like a drink it. And I remember coming home, and it was my mum. She'd a good drink with her mates at the tournament, and they're in the wines at the side, and I'm delighted to have won, but I got really car sick.
Okay.
So on the way back from Dawnside, I was floored big time. So I was straight in my bed. But my mum's obviously in the living room. I think she was partying on a wee bit. And I just remember I was kind of dozing off, and then I heard her, Greg, come through. So I've just kind of went through, and she just says, oh, Aberdeen's just been on the phone. They want to take you on a 6-week trial. And me, young boy, Aberdeen fan, it was like
buzzed.
Delighted. So went in for a 6-week trial. It was Paul Craig, actually. Do you know Paul?
Yeah.
Paul Craig was the manager for the team at the time, and just loved it. From the minute I went in, worked as hard as I could to try and get that.
Training-wise, 3 times a week?
It was 3 times a week as I got older, but it started off twice a week.
Okay.
So I was getting lifts in from a Granda twice a week from Inverurie, so you were pretty much school, football, and then within the 6 weeks, I got the opportunity to sign. It's like a year contract, a year rolling contract. So,
was that when they trained underneath Pittodrie?
They trained
like that gravel car park thing.
I'm telling you, the young boys now at Aberdeen have got it.
They've got a Christie like.
So we were training out at Keith Park,
okay,
the Astro there,
yeah,
Seton Park, Hazelhead. We actually trained on the gravel a few times.
Yeah, the gravel was brutal. I've trained on the gravel.
I think it was just... And then the barracks.
The barracks.
When it sort of come to like summer times, they would get the Glasgow boys up and you would do a thing at the barracks. So that was really it growing up at Aberdeen. But just...
At that age, you were probably just delighted to be there with any bit of grass.
Delighted to be there, but you were always... I always felt that I just needed to work so hard to try and get to a level.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I knew I was... talented young kid, but I always thought, right, I need to work 10 times harder than anyone else to try and get to that level.
Yeah.
And at the end goal, at that age, obviously, the end goal's even at a young age to become a professional footballer and try make it with Aberdeen, but things in football change quickly, and I had a very good time at Aberdeen, some great trips, some great tournaments, won the Aberdeen International Football Festival.
Oh, nice.
Went to Galway, actually. won the Galway tournament, and but see, on top of that, you meet some unbelievable people.
Mate, my best, like, all my mates is through football. Eh?
Yeah.
It's that's where you get your pals. It's unbelievable. Like, people think it's just football. It's not. It's like...
And it's like people you still stay in contact with to this day. Like, Ken, I mentioned Paul there, but I was at an Aberdeen game the other week. It was during the summer, the Dumbarton game.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in hospitality. My missus actually had hospitality for the game, and we were sat behind Neil Simpson at the time.
Yeah.
And Neil Simpson I was at Aberdeen from 8 to 15. Neil turned around, oh, Greg, how are you doing?
I remember.
Still things like that.
And, yeah.
And that goes a long way. And even the grounding you get at Aberdeen, like little things they introduced, shake people's hands.
Yeah.
Say hello to people.
That's a rule, isn't it? About shaking hands to the coaches.
Shake hands to the coaches. And see, from that young age, that still sticks by me.
Yeah.
Whenever you see, like, me and you unite, well,
just anyone.
Just anyone. Just be polite and speak to people, be open, and the grounding I got at Aberdeen, the experiences that I got there was fantastic. But obviously you get to the age where it's 15, so either went full time.
Yeah.
It was at the age, it was like the 17s age group, and then there was a 19s age group.
Yeah, okay.
And then I remember my old man got a phone call just saying, "Look, it's Neil Simpson here, can you come into Pataudry?" So it was at a time where you were never sure if you were actually going to get a full time contract or you were getting released. So
what did you think?
Honestly, I had no idea.
You weren't sure?
Because I think I was so young and probably naive at a time where like, everything's going all right. Because I was actually playing.
Were you playing all the time, yeah?
But then when it goes to 17s, it's a whole different ballgame.
Aye, boys from Glasgow. And
even the 17s, like when you're not playing 19s football, you'd be dropped down.
Okay.
So I remember like Cammy Smith, well, he was my age, Cammy Smith, okay. Detlef McManus.
Aye, they were good.
Danny Mullen. Grimmer.
Was Danny Mullen at Aberdeen?
Yeah, Danny Mullen was there. Grimmer, I think he was actually playing more first team at a time.
Was he? Are you the same age as Grimmer?
Jack's a year older than me.
But
you had all these boys coming back. So at that time, I wasn't sort of playing.
Okay.
So you didn't know if you were going to have another year at 17s or they would just say, "Look, this is where we're at." So when I got taken into Pataudry, I'd always remember it was me, my dad, my grand at the time. Mum said she didn't want to come in because she didn't know
nervous
what was happening. So we went in, they were just honest with me, which Ken, you've got to accept. They've just, it's tough. You're 15 year old and you're sitting there and you're thinking,
shitting yourself.
This is tough, but they were honest with me. Just says, "Look, this is where we're at. We've got a young group of players coming through where you were Scotty Wright, Scotty McKenna, boys like that. We can't stop their development, but we also don't want to stop your development. So we'd feel it would be best if you would move on and possibly look for a full-time team."
Yeah.
And like I say, you leave Pataudry and you feel at the time your dreams are shattered of...
Were you proper gutted?
Oh, I was gutted.
Yeah.
Big time gutted. But...
How was your dad and granddad? Were they quite level-headed with it?
They... I think it was my granddad that was quite, like, annoyed about it.
Was but
not annoyed at... me, just annoyed at the situation, like,
God,
Ken, if you're a parent or anything like that, and your son or your grandson's been told something like that, it's probably really tough to take. And I would be the same if I had kids, but Ken, I always remember when we left, it was Neil Simpson, Lenny Taylor, they just said, "Look, never give up, just keep going. If it's not Aberdeen, you never know, you might come back here in a couple of years, and then you go home and they say, 'Look, we'll get in contact with clubs, we won't leave you.' It's not a thing where you're left out in the street pretty much, we'll make clubs aware." And then within, I think it was 2 days, the phone call came from St Johnstone. So
before we got to St Johnstone, when you were playing that, obviously 14, 15, you were playing 11 aside, were you a fullback by that point?
No, I was still a centre midfielder.
So who was the boys? Can you remember who was kind of, can you remember who got the contracts at that age?
If I remember correctly, it was Cammy Smith. Cammy was
a joke.
Cammy was miles above anyone else.
Yeah.
But that also stands for physically. He was strong as an ox.
He's quite a small guy.
Yeah, he's probably the same. Nah, he would be taller than me, but just strong as an ox. Brilliant footballer. He was playing with Scotland at the time. I think he was in the Victory Shield squad. So you knew that he was 100%. You knew he was 100%. And then sort of after that, I think that was a year Mikey Rose, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Mikey came back. So Mikey was in sort of centre-half, and then they took a few boys from Ireland across as well. I think Matty McMahon was one.
Okay. I remember the stage of having the Irish boys.
Yeah, there was a stage where they took a couple of Irish boys, and then Kieran Gibbons,
one. He's now that Open Goal.
Aye, Open Goal, Brian Hill. So there was like a group of players that sort of pushed on and... Ken, there's no hiding that they were all bigger and stronger than me, so they probably had a better opportunity to play men's football at the time.
Yeah.
So from there, when I did sort of play at my later stages at Aberdeen, that's when I was, can you fill in at fullback? And they probably seen me playing more there. So that's when, like I say, the phone call came. So
can you remember who was at St Johnstone? Was it through your dad, I'm assuming?
No.
Straight to you.
Yeah, well, I know it did come, my dad, sorry.
Yeah.
I think it was actually Neil Simpson that sort of set up.
Okay.
He gave him a call, and it was Tommy Campbell at the time, the head of youth, and he gave my dad a phone, and dad just says, "Look, you fancy it?"
Yeah.
But it wasn't a full-time contract at the time.
Okay.
It was just come down, see how you get on. Went down, first game, you probably won't believe it, but scored 2 goals. No idea where it come from. I'll be totally honest. No, not a clue where it came from.
Who was that against? Can you remember?
I can't remember, but it wasn't St Johnstone at the time. They weren't playing like your Rangers, Celtic, okay, and all that. It was sort of the lower, well, sort of Championship teams, because they were still making the transition
right
at the time. And scored 2 goals, and right after the game, I think it was Alec Cleland, who's the 19s coach at the time. He was the one that was giving out the full time contracts. Tommy says to him after the game, "Luke, can you come down on the Tuesday? We want a right good talk with you." So the game was on Saturday, and then went down the Tuesday and talked things through, and then there was a full time contract on the table, which was the best feeling in the world.
Yeah,
best feeling in the world.
So moved down to Perth.
Moved down to Perth, into Diggs, which was quite tough.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I can imagine it.
I was only 15 at the time, so I'd signed a two-year contract with St Johnstone full-time, getting paid for playing football. And Ken was, you were staying with a random family, which...
did you stay with family?
Yeah, you stayed with a random family, but Eric and Yvonne, unbelievable people. Yeah. Unbelievable people. There was everything done for you. You literally just went and played football, but St Johnstone, when you were full time with St Johnstone, there was jobs.
I was going to ask that.
No, the thing is, see, like when you hear stuff nowadays that there's no jobs or anything like that, it baffles me.
Yeah.
Because what a grounding it is. Like,
what was your job?
What was some of the jobs?
Is it always set for the year?
Set for the year. Yeah. So I had to look after, my first year. What was my first year? 2 players' boots, I think. So you look after their boots, their kit. Oh, obviously, the kit man would do his bit.
Yeah.
But you still had to lay everything out for them, make sure everything was coming in for them.
I would be shitting myself.
Know what? I was actually all right because the players I got was fine. But there were some boys that were like, God, their players were wanting fucking...
I just wild things.
Summer. They're wanting hats, gloves, snood, fucking... tights, all this. So they had a bigger pile than me, but I was quite lucky with like Callum Davidson, Dave McKay.
The two older boys.
So they were quite old school.
Were they all right with you?
Aye, brilliant boys, and Ken would speak away to you. And at that time, going in as a fullback, they would look after you.
Tips at Christmas, surely.
Tips at Christmas, aye.
They were all right with it, were they?
Christmas at the start of the season, aye. It was probably more than my wage at the time, actually. they would look after you, and then...
Plenty of advice as well.
Plenty of advice.
How long were you at St Johnstone for?
So I was there 2.5 years.
Okay.
2.5 years. So within my first year, done really well, actually. Broke into the 19s.
Brilliant.
Sort of squad, and was playing every week at fullback, and it probably helped with Alec Cleland being a fullback as well. Obviously Rangers and Everton and whatnot, but just the tips he was telling me, and like just advice he would give you to, he was obviously a smaller fullback, and look, this is what you need to do, and Ken, if you can hit the striker as quick as you can, just little things that still stick with you to this day that go a hell of a long way.
So I'm going to come off the track a little bit. When I was speaking to people about interviewing you, it was actually Colin Charlesworth at Huntley.
Yeah.
It said to me that you've got this thing of the first time you trained me, he went into a Rondo box. As soon as he was in, he just heard you being like, yes, Coco, go. Where did that kind of leadership come from? Can you remember? Like, is there anyone in particular? Is it just something you've kind of grown into? Have you always had it?
Probably something that I've always had, because like I said to you at the start, I always felt I needed to work harder than anyone else.
Yeah.
I needed to be vocal. I needed to be seen. I just wanted to be a leader.
Yeah.
And it's always sort of stuck by me. And you could have them. Leaders are different, I think.
Oh, big time.
So you could have, like, I'm one, I'll be vocal, but I'll also try and train properly, and do this and that. But yeah, it's always something that's sort of been with me.
Because when I played, I was quiet as a mouse.
Yeah.
And now I've coached and managed for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But when I played, I'd never spoken to pitch, ever.
Yeah.
So it's something just like, I agree with you, because I wasn't the greatest of players.
Yeah.
So when I came to management, I was like, I want to manage, but you need to stand up.
Yeah.
You need to kind of...
Yeah, and it's also helping your teammates as well. Ken, like,
just want to win, do you?
Yeah, just want to win, and there's nothing better than being successful.
Yeah.
For me, Ken, you've got that buzz of winning a game or winning trophies or something. If that's to me, it's got to be with you to play football. It's got to be with you.
Especially at this level.
Especially at this level. And yeah, it's something that's stuck by me from a young age. Can I remember even going back to when I was younger, losing games, I'd be distraught.
Yeah.
Would hate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate it. Go in the car, sulk for a wee bit, home.
I'm still the same now, mate.
Aye, well. But no, it's always been there for me.
So Johnston, was there any boys you can remember? So that 2.5 years, is there anyone that was in your age groups that are still playing now?
Yeah, so, well, my age group, you've got Chris Kane, who's still at St Johnston.
Mate, he's a baller, by the way. Yeah. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, very good. I think he's out injured now, actually.
Yeah, he's a good, great striker.
And then with that time, there wasn't a reserve league as such, so it was sort of 19s league, so the boys would drop down that weren't playing first team.
Did you ever get a chance to play reserves, or did that stop before you...
It just stopped.
Mate, but I don't understand why there's not a reserves league.
Personally, I think it's down to finances.
Yeah.
I think it's down to finances, because would other clubs... Clubs in the Premier League, would they have a squad of 25 with boys playing reserves and stuff like that? So, yeah, that stopped. But Stevie May played.
Was he good?
Strong, aggressive, knew where the goal was, would do some ridiculous things with the ball. Very, very good player. Xander Clark, Hearts.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Xander was out on loan quite a lot. I think he was up at Elgin at the time, but he came back and... played a few games and distribution, not just ridiculous.
Anyone else from Aberdeen? Come, it's Johnston time.
Aye, Big Stilly.
Stilly with you,
Ross Still. Aye, Ross Still, Craig Reid.
Okay, yeah.
They were both down, so.
Did you stay with them, no?
No, they stayed together. I was the one, obviously.
You were punted.
Aye, punted. Punted myself. I was in digs with two other boys. Aye, funny as anything.
Oh, really good,
just two Glaswegian boys who were just funny with. I argue over the littlest thing. Whose Cocoa Pops it is on the table? They'd be fighting in the kitchen. Aye, just brilliant.
Was it a riot at that age?
Well, you're young. Yeah. You're young. Little things can you. There was a gym under the stadium at St Johnstone. You would be head tennis.
Yeah, okay.
Little things like that, and some ridiculous stories you can think.
Was it older pros? Could be as all. Were they? Did they get involved in the fucking about?
No, I can't remember much of it, them really getting involved. There was obviously pranks that went on in the first team dressing room, so we were in the away dressing room.
Oh, separate changing rooms.
And they were in the home, but if you ever trained with the first team, you would still be in the dressing rooms, but you would go across with the first team and stuff like that. But I just, some of the stories, you just don't even think about boys and
is it true,
I would put boys under a bus, but there's some stories where you've got I remember one of my first weeks, like you got into training and there was boys that were in early and stuff like that, and you could hear like this hose going down the changing room. There's boys like doing sliders from one room, one end of the room to the other. You're walking in, you're thinking, this isn't the first team boys, by the way, this is young boys. You're thinking, what the hell am I walking into here? But really good times there, and I was lucky enough to get on the bench for the first team twice.
Brilliant.
Never got on, albeit, but some really good times and memories that always stick by me.
I think I've mentioned it on here before. I'm a big fan of Open Goal, listen to that all the time. And Simon, Si and Slane and that have always spoke about. See, when you train with like the 18s and the 19s and that, when you got the call to go to first team training, they always talk about how you would shit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would dread seeing your name on the bit of paper.
Yeah.
Was that how it was at St Johnstone? Was it on a board, or did you just come and get told?
No, it was just sort of like Alec would come through and say, right, a certain amount of boys up with the first team for training and stuff like that. And
nervous?
Aye.
And they speak about it, it's the worst nightmare.
You would be in, like, the thing you always think about is, right, first touch, first pass. But you can also be too safe with it.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
Some of the first team boys were like, no. Like, if you're a fullback, ping a diagonal. See if it gets caught.
Were they on you? Like, first, the difference is first team.
Right? See, the difference I noticed was, like, with the passing, the weight a pass that was coming in. You were doing a passing drill, and I swear to God, boys are firing it, wrapping these things in.
Do you take that into, where you are now?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you feel like, when you were that age and you've seen the pros, do you feel like you've now transitioned into...
Yeah.
You do a lot of things that you've seen back then.
You do notice it, like, you try and say it to sort of the younger boys we've got in the squad, like, wrap passes in and make mistakes in training. When I was up with the first team, probably try to be too safe, play a little 5 yard here, 10 yard there, and probably kept it too safe at times, but no, you want anyone to just come and express their feelings and just be themselves. That's one of the biggest things, and just go and play football.
Can you remember any of the first team boys being quite like on you all the time?
Jody Morris.
He was unbelievable.
What a player. Just kept the ball. See, when boxes, just kept the ball, and he'd be on at you for just like passing and stuff like that.
I can imagine. He probably played at Chelsea, man.
Yeah, I know. He's playing
Chelsea. How was he in training? Unbelievable.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Unbelievable.
Cigar and slippers.
Yeah, and then you've obviously got like sort of proper winners in the teams.
Michael Dubray there?
No, that was actually, I think it was the year before I joined, he was there.
Fucking big boy.
I've heard stories, but that's for another pod.
That's the X-rated one. So when the end of the St. Johnstone time, was it similar to Aberdeen? Were you open-minded with it? Did you think it was coming that you weren't going to?
That one was the toughest one.
Yeah.
By a country mile. Because
being on the bench, had that sniff.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I had a proper sniff.
No, but you were still in and about.
And then when I remember getting taken in and just obviously told this is the route they're going down, and you were distraught because you didn't know. You were at the age where were you going to go and get a job?
Yeah.
Were you going to go and get another club? But when this sort of came about, you're approaching 18 and you've got to make a life decision and a career decision. So I remember when it all sort of, excuse me, sort of like came to an end, I thought to myself, right, we'll wait and see what happens for a couple of weeks. I'll just go home, see what happens for a couple of weeks and take it from there. But things kind of moved quite quickly again, and you get the opportunity to, I think it was Dundee at the time.
Okay.
There was talk about them possibly, but they didn't know if they were getting sort of rid of their youth system.
Right,
so you're 8, well, I was away to turn 18, I was still 17 at the time. But then you're like, right, I need to go play football because I've not actually experienced first team football.
Okay. Yeah.
And at that age, I think you need to be out playing first team football.
Yeah.
You need to be out experiencing first team football. So I came back home. And then I just thought, well, Forfar was another one. I went down to train with Forfar. Guy Barry Sellers got me in there.
Okay.
So I went and trained with them, and it was just the travelling and stuff like that. I was kind of travelling, well, Perth, you're down in Diggs, but it's still part-time football, so you'd have a job. Would you have the commitment to do that? And everything was new to me.
Yeah.
Everything was new to me. So
once you came back home, were you a little bit like, did you enjoy being at home?
You did, aye, to start with, but you're still missing the buzz of playing football every day.
Yeah.
Still missing that. So when I came home, it was, well, St Johnstone were, like Aberdeen, they don't leave you dead on your feet.
Yeah,
they don't leave you dead on their feet, and I think that's brilliant with any club. Kind of, if you just leave someone on their feet, I don't really agree with that, but they spoke to a few clubs, and they wrote me out a CV, obviously, because if part-time was looking more and more likely, then they would send out, they would do a CV for you to send out. And I remember I went to, there was one day I just says to my mum, I'm like, look, I'm just going to print off every one of these CVs and go to every oil company in Bridgerton, Dyce, Portlaoise. So I done that. I just went everywhere and just handed in CVs to wait and see what came up. And then the Forfar thing went totally. I was like, nah, I'm not doing that.
You weren't interested in it more,
I wasn't really interested in it. And then the two was for Martin and Locos.
Okay.
So went across and spoke for Martin. Pelly was manager at the time.
Yeah.
Spoke for Martin first, really, because they were the ones that sort of approached me.
Did they come out? Okay.
So I went across, spoke for Martin. Everything that Pelly said was very good. I think they'd just come off the back of losing to Cove that season.
The last game
of the season. So they were wanting to really go for it.
Yeah.
But look, I was under no illusions that it wasn't going to be an 18-year-old going in to start every week. Not a chance with that. Kind of watched Highland League when I was younger and I knew their team and stuff like that. And then I came across here at the Locos, had a conversation with Kenny and Scotty in the manager's room through there, And they just, everything they said was great about the club. They didn't really need to sell the club to me, because I came here as a youngster. Mascot when I was younger. Came and watched games with my granda. So they didn't really need to sell me the club, but they spoke about certain things that they were wanting to do, and it just really appealed to me. So I went home, said I would have a think about it, but there was only real one club I was signing for.
You mentioned earlier on that your dad and your granddad and that had quite like a big, I don't know if that had an influence, but they were there a lot.
Yeah.
Did they have any preference on the Fermartin and locals thing? Were they both towards here?
Well, my granddad Johnny, he's one of them. Look, just do whatever makes you happy.
Aye.
My dad kind of stayed out of it because he's like, look, you need to make your own decisions here. But it's funny, my dad's dad, he's a diehard here. Big diehard. So I didn't actually have the balls to tell him that I'd went and spoke to Fermartin. So I ended up, he knew I was coming here to speak to locals, so I said I spoke to locals, but I've also spoke to Fermartin. I told him.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you going across there for? And I was like, well, Ken, I need to see what my options are.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, if ever money's involved, I'll give you whatever. And I was like, no. So straight away, like, I'll tell you now, I was going to sign the locals.
Yeah,
but
it's always going
to
be.
Obviously, I don't think Grand would have been too happy about going across the North Lodge for.
Was it in the summer you came in?
In the summer, I think it was summer of 2013.
So you came in like at pre-season time?
Yeah, just before pre-season.
Do you think, I know you've probably not done it a lot because obviously you've came in from then, but do you think it makes a difference of, I think it makes a big difference joining pre-season opposed to halfway through the season, eh?
Yeah.
Because it's a clean, although it's not, it is a clean slate for everyone.
Yeah, especially what Kenny and Scotty were doing with the club at that time. So that summer was probably one of the best summers signings locals have made, and that's not because of myself. Martin Bavage was one.
Yeah, he was unreal.
Dean Donaldson, Andy Hunter, Ross Anderson, just to name a few.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, players that you were taking into the club, you had Neil Gold, Andy Reid, Neil McLean, Ryan Broadhurst, Mark Souter, Scotty Begg.
Yeah.
Some unbelievable players. John Maitland, Gordon Forsyth, Kieran Adams.
Maitland used to be unbelievable.
All these players. So what Kenny and Scotty done was they had an unbelievable squad there.
Yeah.
Of players that were hungry. Like, when I speak about players there, I remember Dean Donaldson. I played right back, Dino was right mid, always on at me.
Yeah.
Always on at me. Come on, son. Winners, winners, winners. Bav at the top of the park. Goldie, desperate to score goals. Natural.
Yeah.
Club captain. I couldn't have asked for a better group of players to come into.
Yeah.
Because of the experience they had within the club, the experience within the league, but the people they were as well.
Yeah.
They knew of me previously, but like even Scotty and Kenny probably took a bit of a gamble on me because I don't think they'd seen me play or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the whole club sort of welcomed me with open arms, and yeah, it was definitely the best move I could have made.
How did you find the transition from full-time to?
Difficult, because you're obviously working.
So did you start your new job pretty much the same time as you started locals?
Well, I started my new job on my 18th birthday.
Nice.
So John Bell Pipeline, who was actually the main sponsor of locals at the time, so I started there on the 1st. So I think we had pre-season prior to that. But then when you're working all day and then you're going to football at night.
Brutal, mate.
I didn't honestly realise what I was proper coming into.
Yeah.
But Scott and Kenny said, look, this is what you're coming into. We'll help you buy it. But Ken, you've got this. Ken, don't panic or anything like that. So, Ken, you were going from, well, I think my hours at the time were 8:30 till 5:00. And then you were up training at 6:00, up for pre-season. So pre-season is the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and
Jesus.
Sometimes you're up. Kenny and Scotty used to always take us up. Andy and Alexander actually used to take us up by the golf club in Drury. I don't even know if it's there now. A massive hill, right? And they would, I think it was Ian Alexander, they would send Toodles up to the top. And it was like, right, boys, just run up there and jog back. Run up there, jog back. Say about 12 times or that, right? And I was blowing and you run up at the top, and I think I don't know if it was Ian or Scotty, but it was like, Just the sarcastic voice. Aye, aye, Greg's eight. Not St Johnston now, son. As you're running up like an absolute dafty. No, fitness levels, Ken's always been good for myself. Yeah. And something that you need to keep on top of when you're playing part-time football.
Did you play pretty much straight from the start? Have you kind of been a regular ever since?
I did, so... Fullback? Well, actually, my debut was up at Strathspey.
Okay.
And I played right mid that right. game.
Nice.
Parkey plays at right
back. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I think we won the game 4-0 or something like that. Scored as well. I scored the last goal, but it's funny. So, like, obviously, when you score three, it's like just a few high fives. Yeah. So I'm through on goal. I'm away celebrating. I've gone. Honestly, I'm waiting to take my top off and everything. I'm like, it's a dream. Totally gone. So.
Did anyone come after you? Everyone just leave you to go?
I think they just left me. I think I just went to chuff chuffs. But no, that was it. And then my second game, I actually got injured. I took quite a bad injury in my second game up at Devon Vale. I went up for a header, and as I've came down, I've just went boof on my ankle. So I think I was out after, it was about 4 to 6 weeks, okay. Just something like that. So you take a bit of time to get back into the team. But I was under no illusion that no matter who I signed for in the Highland League, I knew that you wouldn't just come in and start. Yeah. You wouldn't, because this is your first time playing men's football. So You need to realise that.
Did you find a big difference playing against men?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard, eh?
Yeah. Just like the physicality of it, how quick it was.
Yeah.
And like the Highland League doesn't get the recognition. A lot of Highland League clubs, I personally think, could be playing, if they get the breakthrough, could be playing Leagues One and.
Yeah.
You can only look at Cove. What Cove have done is out of this world. Yeah. Out of this world. Yeah, it's been coming for years because they didn't deserve to be in the Highland League. They were walking it at times. Yeah. But yeah, that was one of the things that I did notice when I first came to the Highland League was how competitive it was.
Yeah.
And I just like opened my eyes and I loved it. I loved the chance of playing and winning and like going for. The first year I was at locals, I was lucky enough to actually be in a bit of a title race. If it wasn't for Brora that season were unbelievable.
Oh, okay.
I think we had our best season for years, but Brora were about 21 points clear.
Jesus.
I think Brora actually, I don't quote me, but I think they might have bet the 100 point mark. They were unbelievable. An unbelievable side.
Jesus.
With some unbelievable players. And we gave it our best and finished second that year. Yeah. Got to the... Won the Aberdeenshire Shield.
Okay, yeah.
Got to the Aberdeenshire Cup final for Martin beat us 3-2.
Yeah.
Blowing Gale up at Fraser Brass.
I was there in the stands.
Were you?
Locals fan.
Ah, tough one.
Yeah, it was.
I swear to God. We were up 2-0 at half time. And we knew the second half would be different. And... they came out and we maybe just didn't manage the game well enough as players.
Yeah.
You can say all you want about the conditions, but I think the third goal in the first half would have been, we were pushing and pushing, but we didn't quite get there. We still came in at half time, still Luke, the experienced boys took over there, Nacho, Dino, boys like that, came in and, right, we know what's coming, boys, we know what's coming, but we'll need to deal with it. And for Martin, just threw everything at us. And I remember just, I think it was a boy, Joe Hamill, that came in from higher leagues. He put a ball in. I think it was Mikey Yuner, Cammy Keith scored.
Okay.
And it was 92nd minute. And,
heartbreaking.
Oh, brutal. But then we went on to win the Shield at the end of that season. That was brilliant.
How did you, the first couple of seasons at Locals, did you just feel like that was what you wanted to do? Like, were you still happy in part-time football, or was there... ever times in the first couple of years where you were like, could I give it a go again?
There was never really the chance to.
No, so you didn't really think about it.
But Scotty Buchan was brilliant because he was always saying, don't accept that you're going to play Highland League.
Yeah.
He said, do this, do that to try and make yourself better. But sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes clubs can... Maybe I wasn't performing as well at the time and stuff like that. You need to be realistic with yourself because the jump is... Kent's a higher jump at the time. But Scotty was all on it, miss, saying, look, can, there could be opportunities here. So you need to be at it all the time, which was great for me, because I think if you had someone who was just letting you get on with your job, saying, ah, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
But just on at you, Kenny, Scott, Ian, Alexander, always on at you, but in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to make you better and really pushing you, because they want the best for you.
Yeah, of course.
They want the best for you as a player, but ultimately they want the best for the team.
Yeah.
So I, for them being sort of my first managers within the men's game, certainly helped me.
So how long did you have Kenny and Scotty for all together?
I'm going to say four.
They were here a while, eh?
Yeah, 4 years. Well, they were here obviously prior to me coming in.
Yeah.
But they were here for, I'm sure it was 4 or 5 years. And in that time, Ken, we won 2 Shields. I think we got to the Aberdeenshire Cup final maybe 3 times. And with that group, I think, well, our first season was, like I say, when you're successful, it's the best season ever.
Yeah.
Obviously, it could have been better. We could have won the Aberdeenshire Cup. But playing with that group of boys and realising that you're in a men's game with these boys who are willing to fight for you every week, willing to put their bodies in the line, and just had a real good group of boys who could have been a very good squad.
Yeah.
To win more things. Yeah. And I think we could have and should have been. But there was a period of time where some boys left the club.
Okay.
For reasons, obviously, one way or another.
Yeah.
Like, we lost Goldie, unfortunately. Bav had retired. Andy Reid had went back. Well, Andy Reid had went for Martin. Davy Ross, who was unbelievable for us. Davy...
you go up your head?
No, I think Davy actually went abroad.
I think like Dubai or something.
Yeah. And then there was a few other boys that had left. So we actually went through a bit of a transition period with Kenny and Scotty. And that's when, at the end of their time, we won the Aberdeenshire Cup. No, the Aberdeenshire Shield final against Banks Adee. And then, sort of, I think it was Kenny that stepped down first, and then sort of Scotty followed suit. So that was one where it was probably tough for me, because you were like, oh no, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
I was still young at the time, so you're thinking, who's going to come into the football club? Is somebody going to come in with different ideas? Are they going to go for, who are they going to go for?
And yeah.
Then Neil Cooper came in.
So the first thing that stands out to me, obviously, Kenny and Scotty were his managers relatively quite young. And like, obviously they played with the boys, so there was probably that feel of like they were one of the boys. How was that with then Neil coming in, who's obviously an older guy? Did you find a big difference in that?
Yeah, well, when you say Kenny and Scotty were still one of the boys, you obviously knew there was
they're the gaffers. Yeah.
Simple as, they're the gaffers, so Ken, it's not like they're with the boys all
could
the time.
Crack, those two.
Aye, brilliant crack.
Oh yeah.
Aye, brilliant.
Could they lose the shit if they needed to as well?
Oh, big time.
Who was the scary one?
Scotty.
Scotty a scary boy, aye. Is he?
Oh fuck yeah. Aye. Big time. I don't think he really cracked with me personally, but I've seen him fly at boys. He's had a few pops at me. One as well, we played a game on a Saturday, right? And we drew 2-2. I can't remember who it was against, but it came on a Monday night at training. And me and Soapy, who were young boys at the time, were still playing. We played on the Saturday, right? But Scotty obviously had a beer in the social club on a Saturday night, and somebody went and told him that they'd seen myself and Mark Souter in Edwards on Thursday. Edwards, the pub in Inverurie.
Oh, shit.
Now, at the time, right, I'll be honest with you, and Scotty knows this story as well. We had about 4 or 5 pints, right? It wasn't anything through.
That was Thursday.
The Thursday. Okay. It wasn't anything through the score, right? And then Monday night at training came. We were just running about. Scotty wasn't happy with the result on Saturday. Told us that in the changing room. Said, again, a few boys need to have a right good look at themselves. But then on the Saturday, somebody's obviously told him this. So the Monday at training, we're warming up. And Mitch, you got a minute? All right, Scotty. Aye. You on Thursday, were you? I just kind of looked at him. I was like, I went and watched it. It was Southampton. Southampton were in Europa League. I went and watched Southampton. Suter, were you? Aye. How many pints you had? It's like 4 or 5. Okay, that's fine. Sends me off. Didn't think, man, bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
Halfway round the lap. Mark Suter. over. So it was across. I'm thinking, oh no.
He doesn't care for what you've said.
He doesn't care for what I've said. So Soapy's across and he's asked the same question. I goes, Soapy comes back and I was like, what was that about? Oh, Scotty asked about Thursday night. And I goes, how many pints did you say we had? Oh, 7 or 8. I'm like, Soapy, come on. And it's thoughtless day. I'm telling you, it was 4 or 5 and we were up the road by like 10 o'clock. We left straight after the game, not in any state or anything like that. But see, that it sounds funny, but see now, Thursdays, no. Friday, never a Friday, never 48 Friday. Hours. That was the first one that Scotty said. See, 40 hours before a game? Nah, not happening.
Yeah. So it's him that kind of installed that in you?
Aye.
And you still stick to that now?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What about Soapy?
Yeah, he's out for 7 or 8 pints.
So Neil Cooper comes in. How was that with the transition-wise? Because obviously he was at Aberdeen and stuff, wasn't he?
Well, I actually knew Neil from when I was at Aberdeen. So you got, when you were at...
Does that benefit you?
No, because it's a clean slate for everyone. Okay. It's a clean slate for everyone. But I knew Neil from being at Aberdeen and having the opportunity to go up and train with the under-19s, it was at the time. Okay. So Neil knew me as a player, knew what it was about. But still, with Neil coming in, you still need to impress him because Neil's seen me as a... I think Neil would have seen me probably as 14, 15-year-old kid training under-19s.
Yeah, okay.
So you're 10 years down the line now.
Yeah, okay.
So you... Well, no, whatever. But you still need to impress him.
Yeah.
No matter what. So I still know I need to work hard, need to be at my best to try and obviously play with Neil. But like I say, when Scotty and Kenny sort of left the club, it was quite a young group. So that's when Neil tried and taking a few experienced boys, took Stuart Duff, Johnny Smith, sort of the end of Neil's tender, he took in Big Eric.
Okay.
So Neil was really good for me. Really, really good for me. Believed in me. Probably played some of my best football under Neil. Got players player of the year with him. Myself and Soapy played, I think it was the most games or something like that. Okay. I think we played every game every season under Neil. So
right, okay.
I really like Neil as... Neil's a manager, he's a person. He was, aye. I think as every manager is, but obviously there was Neil and Parky and then sort of the end, Lozer as well. So Neil was very old school, but his training was brilliant.
Did he take the training?
Yeah, Neil was quite hands-on.
Yeah.
He was hands-on, but I knew that from being at Aberdeen because his training was brilliant, short, sharp. He was all about small-sided games and good as well. Ken, if you're running, it's all with the ball. It's not, we're just running you for getting into legs, everything's ball related. So yeah, Neil was really good and then Neil moved on and then Lozer and Parky.
Yeah.
Well, Lozer took over with Parky.
Yeah. How was that under Lozer and Parky?
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
Because that's where we first met.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aye. So Lozer for me, his man management skills were different class.
Yeah, they were good.
Very, very good. He was on at you. Just out with football, just genuine nice guy asking how things were. But see, when it came to football, I've never seen someone so intense. Oh, and someone
he loved it,
loved the game, loved the boys. Took in a very good squad.
Yeah.
I think also tried to install an identity about us.
Yeah.
The way he wanted us to play, it was on the front foot. Play out from the back. If not, we're getting it forward as quick as we can into wide areas. Suited me as a fullback, so he wanted me to get forward.
Yeah.
So I went from right back to left back.
Okay.
Sort of Neil moved me there.
Right.
That's where I started really kicking on a little
bit. Was there a reason you moved across? Did it happen? Was it an injury that initially put it?
I'm sure it was an injury. I think Gogs Forsyth took a bad injury, and John Maitland had left the club who was playing there previously.
He was good.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
But I think we kind of struggled to get players in, and then they just moved me to left back.
Okay.
And then from there, like when Lozer came in, he was just wanting me quite high and it's shooting me. And then he was always wanting sort of the back two nice and solid, other fullback tucking in, and wanted me to sort of kind of go and join in. So from an attacking point of view, it was definitely great for me.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed playing with Lozer and Parky as well. Kind of club legend, played God knows how many games for the club.
Great guy.
Knew him from first joining the club as well. So, yeah, the boys were.
Do you find a difference, like when you first came in, Parky was still been playing, was he?
Yeah.
So do you find a difference in playing with somebody to then them being your gaffer?
Not really. Well, Lozer was playing as well.
When
I first came to the club, Lozer was playing.
I remember playing five-a-sides once with Spider, and Lozer was there. And he turned... I think I'm actually still in his pocket. He was a joke of a footballer.
I'll tell you now, he's the busiest guy ever for five-a-sides.
Yeah,
he would join in. He'd always join in, but he had a right enthusiasm for football and the way he sort of was as a manager, like I say, he was always on at the boys and a good way, just asking how they are and understands it's part time football.
Yeah.
So boys have obviously got day jobs and stuff like that, and then we felt we was on to something good there. The squad he took in, Robert Ward, Lloyd Robertson, probably missed out a few boys, but took in some very, very good players.
Yeah. Did Lozer sign Shanks?
Shanksy, aye.
Yeah. He's brilliant.
But
very good player.
I think that was because Lozer was just at these boys
constantly. Yeah.
Like, he would speak to you as well, and Lozer obviously gave me the vice captaincy with the club, and always remember when he told me. I was obviously delighted to hear, but the little things that stick with you as well. You've got Neil McLean. Neil McLean was the first boy to message me. And,
was it? Brilliant.
And just say, look, don't change.
Yeah.
Don't change to try and be someone else. And just stuff that always sticks with you. But yeah, obviously then COVID sort of hit. And
yeah. So before we go into lockdown, I remember Lozer, obviously, I was here doing the massage stuff where we first met and that was under Lozer. I remember after a few months, Lozer texted me being like, can I give you a call? Mm-hmm. So at the time, I took when they put everyone on furlough, I said to him, listen, I'm only here once a week. Don't worry about paying me. Like, yous are tight enough as it is with how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me. So when he texted me saying, I'm going to give you a call, I thought, right, he's either tell me what's happening or there's going to be something football related. Mm-hmm. He phoned me for about half an hour and I think we spoke about football for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He just wanted to make sure I was all right.
Yeah.
And at the time, I've been very vocal on my mental health.
Yeah, yeah.
That was during the time where I did try and take my own life, and I remember I told Lozer this, and what a guy, man. Like, mm-hmm. He was genuinely so concerned about me.
Yeah.
It was just like, you realise that football's not just football. It's not.
Yeah.
There's way more than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the way I think anyone would be, but yeah, that's one thing he was. He was very.
He cared. He cared big time.
Yeah, and when obviously people do that, you tend to give everything.
Because I was under the impression, like, I sometimes am guilty of underplaying what I do. So, like, I think, I'm on a masseuse at Locos once a week. I don't matter. Whereas to Lozer, I did matter.
Yeah.
I was the same. He gave me the same attention he did to me that he probably gave to you.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, is huge.
But it's quite right, though, because the people behind the scenes at Highland League are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, even when I came up from St Johnston, you've got your kit laid out on match days. You've got a towel. You've got everything. You've got everything so professional. And it's one thing about Locos that is very, very professional. Obviously, I've not seen any other Highland League clubs, but the stuff that we've got there for us gives us the best platform to go and perform.
Yeah, great.
Because if everything's right off the park, there's no excuses for it on the park.
Yeah.
Because you know what players are like. We can,
we
can use anything, but no, it's... good guy.
So you touched on that with a lockdown. How was that for you? Rough as fuck. Because honestly, you strike me as a person that loves his football.
Aye, yeah.
Big time.
Well, it was tough. Tough for a number of reasons, probably. You probably know yourself, lost my stepdad during the lockdown period. So, again, you're wanting to get back to football. And
you just want someone to get your mind
off
that.
You're just dying for the go-ahead. And I remember there was whispers that it was going ahead and then it wasn't going ahead.
Yeah.
Come on, just give us something, like Toot in the Park, and you're not near anyone or anything like that. So, yeah, it was tough on a number of things, but especially due to that, the personal side of things, where, like, I'd lost my stepdad, and you were just wanting to go see. Like, I moved into my granda's house at the time, so I was doing that up.
Yeah, okay.
And you were wanting to go see your family, but you knew COVID was kicking about.
Yeah.
So, and then. But the way the football club and the boys, well, we're lucky enough, you've got WhatsApp groups and stuff like that, so you keep everyone going through that, but nothing beats playing football and meeting up with people and stuff like that. But everyone's different. Yeah, it was tough for me, but I'm one of them. I try to get on with it as best as I could, try and be upbeat, but I can understand why, like, people can go into bad places and stuff like that. But football was one of the biggest ones for me.
I'm intrigued to know, like, during lockdown, I was managing Ellen Amateurs, and trying to keep the boys going was tough, but it was your man, like, I was the manager, so I had to, it was my job. I've got down here that you were vice-captain at that point, and I've seen it firsthand, you are a bit of a leader. Was it difficult to try and still be a leader when you couldn't see the boys?
I think it was different because it was just more personal.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going, dropping stuff off at somebody's door or something like that. Yeah. It was just a little thing, checking up on people. But like I say, we're lucky enough now, we've got group chats.
Yeah.
And like, everyone was, especially at the time when my stepdad passed away, the support I got from every one of the boys and coaching staff, committee, Inverurie really was unbelievable and something that I'm very grateful for. But when you try, like, message people, that's when, you know, like yourself, people will open up and stuff like that. And it's a big thing in the world just now with mental health, but it's very difficult when you've got so much on the go to continue to try and be upbeat. But no, I think we've done it well, and I think the club done it well. Lozer was one that put up this 24-hour the charity run.
You were one of the first people to do that, weren't you?
We were the first one.
First team.
The first one to do it. And it was actually at the time where you could go and visit people in gardens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was like, I think that week it was just like, brilliant, come on, let's go around to somebody's garden. So I was the first one on the run, and I think I was the midnight run. So I'll need to show you the photo.
Strokes.
Struggle after a few beers, I tell you that. I'll show you the photo. So for some reason, we were like, right, well, we'll do it fancy dress or something like that. So I'd wore a pumpkin outfit. Honestly, mate. Wore a pumpkin outfit, right? And I got my dad to come with me because I was like, look, Dad, just go on the bike. Keep me going because it's midnight. Because brutal.
Yeah.
And it was that summer where it was absolutely boiling. So I'm.
Was it a few beers or was it a soapy 8 or 9 beers?
Yeah, it was a Mark Suter. But no, even stuff like that, like the group chat that weekend, I would say lifted everyone.
Yeah.
Because it was like just boys sending photos out their runs and their times. And even social media, the recognition that we got on.
It was good.
We got on social media, and the funds we raised was unbelievable.
How did you manage to get the midnight one?
I think I actually put myself forward for it. That's because great. We thought about, obviously, the ones with kids, look, they'll get it done maybe like 7 in the morning, so they're up and back with the kids. So I was like, I'll do the midnight one. No problem at all. I'll take one for the team. Didn't know that I was going to have a few beers and a couple of burgers in the afternoon at a barbecue.
So when you started going again, the football was obviously, COVID started to come down and we're back into it. How long was it that Lozer, it wasn't that long, was it?
I can't really remember, if I'm being honest, but at that time there was so much stuff happening off the park. And that's where I noticed it from being like the vice captain. Like, Nacho was brilliant for obviously being the focal point for the players and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I remember we obviously got taken to meetings where, like, we don't know if it'll start, he won't be getting paid, so we had to go and sort of relay this all back onto the players. But I think without Nacho being there to fully lead it, because he was leading it and guiding me through it, it would have been difficult. But the leadership from Nacho, as he's always been since I joined the club during that time, is brilliant.
Yeah.
And then Lozer was doing so much in the background, because Ken, I think you were turning up to train, you were only allowed to train in groups of 4 or something like that. Strathburn. So obviously if you're up out in the open park at Strathburn Park, and you never know if a walker by sees you in a group of 5, you could get reported, and that could be the whole thing done. So especially at that time, there was so much off the park, sanitising balls and sanitising this and that, the next thing. So probably a session for the coaches, where it was like a 2-hour training session, was really a 3.5 four-hour session because they had to set up properly, they had to do this, they had to take their separate groups. So that was tough for them, but they made it sort of easier for the players because we were just turning up to train.
Yeah.
We were turning up to train, go home with your families. Simple as that.
Yeah.
So I didn't expect the timing to come about when Lowe's are putting, I don't know if he put in his resignation or what exactly the full story, but then when he obviously says to us his reasons for it, you can totally understand because Highland League's a full-time job.
It is,
full-time job, and he's young kids and family, so you totally understand that. And I know Lowe's are the person that he is, was probably so intense with himself. He was full on kind of training, so it was difficult for, it was a difficult one because he had built that group of players, and like I say, we sort of had an identity about us, but then, you know what I mean, we were in a transition period again, so all these things sort of happened quickly. And then Lowe's, I think it was after the Keith game, we played Keith away, we got a message, I can't remember if it was the Sunday or the Monday, to just say, boys, that's, I need to step down from my role. So, yeah, a bit of a shock for us all.
Yeah, and then Richard Hastings comes in.
The gaffer came in. We obviously, you hear rumours about the Highland League. Ken, being in the Highland League, you hear rumours, and it wasn't a name that I'd heard of. Being mentioned with the role or anything like that. So he got announced. The gaffer came down for the game. We played Rothes here midweek. And I think it was 1-1, but it was difficult. So the gaffer obviously came to the game. He came and seen us before the game, but he just watched it in the stands.
So who took the game, Parky?
But I'm sure. Was it Parky? It was Parky and
Titchy. At that point,
I think it was. So the gaffer just watched the game, but obviously our next game was, it was Wednesday, Saturday at that point of the season. So he didn't have a training session in between the game against Fraserburgh on Saturday. Well, he took us in on the Thursday and he told us the exact way he wanted to play, but obviously we didn't, it was a very light session, a bit on shape, and it's something that he's very detailed on, is the way he wants us to play our shape on the ball, off the ball, in the front areas, go and express yourselves, defence, we need to be tight, we need to stop crosses. Basics of football, really. Basics of football. Which suits me, and obviously with the gaffer being a fullback, it helps me.
Can you tell, like, you obviously, he played pro, he played Cali, played for Canada. Is it obvious? Is it obvious he's played at that level?
Yeah, because I think the demands he puts on the players.
Okay.
I think the demands he puts on the players, and
is it more that than the tactical side of it? Like, is it more tactical than you've seen before, or is it just carrying.
You're probably right there, because every manager that I've had at this football club's different.
He's
tactical, but I think it's quite simple instructions.
It's basics.
It's just get the ball forward as quick as we can. If we can play, we play. Just basics, but he's very, very thorough on the tactical side of things and shape, especially if we're playing sort of your bigger teams. We'll be honest, your bigger teams. So this is the way we want to be out of possession. This is where we could probably hurt them. Goes into real depth of what he wants. And we've obviously got the Highland League's definitely developed. We've got the software now of the VO. So he sends through clips of that. Maybe prior to when we're playing a team, he'll send you a few clips on, look, this is what this opponent's good at. And something totally different to what we've had before, probably, because I think everyone sort of knows the Highland League. But the gaffer's like, look, this is in your head now. So I remember we played, I think it was Brechin on a Wednesday night, and the Sunday after the game on the Saturday, he's sending clips through. So it's in your head, fresh,
busy,
for the training on the Monday, for the Wednesday. So
see, as a player, like, with the VAO stuff and the analysis and all that, do you find it more beneficial getting told what yous could do to exploit the team you're playing, or is it easier to take in stuff where what they're going to do, if that makes sense, or is it all pretty handy? Like, because for me, like, at football, I think it would be easier personally to be wary of what they're going to do and let you just go and do what you need to, opposed to the other way around.
Yeah.
But it's probably different for different people, is
well,
it?
Well, I think whatever team you're in, if it's me, we've got to go and show how good a team we are.
Yeah.
Because we're a very good football team.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like,
some of the players we've got within this squad is the ability is frightening.
Yeah.
And some, I personally think, could be playing higher.
Yeah.
But obviously it comes with consistency and performance levels and stuff like that. But you are probably right, yeah. It helps for certain aspects and stuff like that. But Heinlee...
Does it make you overthink?
Well, I'm different. I don't really overthink things because I've played Heinlee and I know the way sort of boys play in the Heinlee.
Yeah.
It's very rarely you'll come up against different opponents or anything like that.
Someone you don't really know.
Yeah, so yeah. Ones that you don't really know. Everyone sort of knows everyone and stuff like that, but teams will change. We'll go up to certain venues and change the way we play, but the gaffer always wants us to play the same sort of way. But sometimes, look, you need to be honest, you need to change stuff, and it's down to us as players as well on the park to probably take charge of that if we see something that we don't agree with, and that's something the gaffer's very open about as well.
So Hastings came in just towards the end of the season, and obviously over the summer you got made captain when Natch and Jopper retired.
Yeah.
Did you see it coming? Were you wanting it? Did you think this is a no-brainer? Like, how did it go through in your mind?
You know what? I actually had conversations with a few people, and that was because there was no word of it. There was no real word. This is what's set in stone or anything like that. And I had a conversation with a few people, family members, missus and stuff, and I was saying, look, am I going to be named captain here or whatnot? But it wouldn't have changed me. It wouldn't have changed me.
That's what I was going to ask.
It really would not have changed me of who I was or who
would
I was.
Would it have bothered you?
What's that, sorry?
Would it have bothered you if you never got it?
Aye. I think it would have. Yeah, I think it would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't have changed me, though. It certainly wouldn't have... I certainly wouldn't have downed tools the stuff you hear, he's chucked it or stuff like that. I would still be the same Greg Mitchell that I'm.
Yeah.
That I was an 18-year-old. I would still be the same person. But I was something for me that I was wanting to be captain of this football club because it's a big honour for me.
Yeah.
I'm from Inverurie. Family come and watch games. My pals come and watch games. Just stuff like that. So you've always. If you've got that, and it comes with, I wouldn't say pressure, but you've obviously got that pressure to perform and try be the best you can on a Saturday, and whether that's Saturday or training or whatever, you just want to try and lead by example in certain ways.
Does it give you anything more? Like, obviously people just see a captain as in, you've got the armband, you're the leader in the changing room. At locals, does it give you? Do you have to do more things? Like, because Inverurie is quite like a local sort of town, like that's really close. Like, do you have to do more things? Because I've seen a few photos of you down doing like kids' presentations, and do you enjoy that sort of stuff?
Yeah, well, it's one thing that sort of the committee and that try and install community club. They've mentioned that a couple of times, and try and get us involved more in the community.
Yeah,
that's something probably. Loads are trying to do.
Okay.
Try to get us involved with charities, and even during COVID, like the chairman Mike McCauley had us, if yous were available, to do drop-offs, kind of food drop-offs and stuff like that. So you were out in your local's tracksuit and you were up delivering food to people's doors and having conversations with people.
I like it,
and it's. Just giving a wee bit of back to the community as well.
Yeah.
If you can go down, look, I was one of them boys at Colney when I was 8 years old, and you had probably Neil McLean. No, I'm joking. you had boys coming to can present you with your trophies and stuff like that. So if you can give that little bit back to the community, I think it goes a hell of a long way, especially to the younger generation. But obviously, if you're helping people, and whether that's anyone within the community, it's great to give back a little.
Brilliant. And doing a bit of coaching as well?
Yeah.
Just the 21s?
So...
Well, I only found out because you absolutely scudded me about 6 weeks ago.
so previously, it was something that I thought about maybe coming on 5-6 years now.
Okay.
Believe it or not, it's that maybe long. So an opportunity came about to coach the under-17s with John Henderson.
Okay.
No, sorry, maybe before that was Dave McGinley. I can't really remember. And it was a Monday night, so you've got Monday youth team, Tuesday first team, Thursday first team, Saturday first team.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Aye, yeah, but it's if you can just help these players, and especially working with the 21s, because you're working closer, a lot of these 21s are pushing on to get in the first team now.
Yeah.
So if you can give any little bit of advice now, I'm not saying Scotty Buchan, who I do the 21s with, Scotty, unbelievable coach.
Yeah.
Unbelievable coach. But if I can maybe give them a wee bit of advice to try and help them along the way to push on and kind of take that off of Scotty's back a little bit, because Scotty's a very busy man. And we work together well.
Yeah.
So if I just like being there and seeing who we've got coming through, and we've been lucky over the past couple of years, we have had a couple come through. Like, I think when the youth setup got started off, you've got Thomas Reid, who's in with the first team now, Craig Gill, Jay Halliday. So when you see people make that breakthrough, it's obviously what I'd done as a youngster and was trying to do. So yeah, if I can help them in any way possible, then yeah, I'll certainly try.
He's absolutely scudded us a few weeks ago. Like,
well,
we've got a good team, eh?
The boys were brilliant at night, actually. We were laughing. So before the game, I don't think we'd scored in 3 or 4.
Brilliant. Just that.
So Scotty was like, right, boys, we just need to score goals. We need to have fun, play on the front foot, and just go at them. So, aye, that was probably just tough one for you to
take. I appreciate
take,
it. Like.
But no, you're into coaching now, are you?
Yeah, it's good. I enjoy it. I thought I was the most handsome 21s manager, and then I seen you here, so you broke my heart.
I was thinking about putting the chinos on and going all pep.
It's good, though. It's good to be in amongst, because see, obviously, first team's different, like, they're in there, and it's obviously up to them to continue being. But with the 18s and 21s, they've got a reason to go. Like, if you're 18s, get into the 21s.
Yeah.
If you're 21s, get in the first team.
Yeah.
And what I think we do good at Huntley is, me and Chris Bay we're 18s and 21s, and we think that makes a big difference, because if you're the 18s and it's different managers, you've got to do a fair bit before the 21s recognise you, and then you've got a fair bit before the first team.
Yeah.
Whereas what I think Alan's done good at Huntley is, I'm in with the first team as well. So from 18s to first team, I am there the whole time.
Yeah.
So it gives boys an opportunity of, if I can impress Goose 18s, he will take me 21s. Mm-hmm. And I do take them 21s.
Yeah.
And because I remember when we played you the week before for the 18s, we had a guy, Henry Coots, that hadn't been playing much. He'd had to bide his time. Mm-hmm. He started against Turriff, was man of the match the following week. He got 30 minutes against you for the 21s.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, in the space of 2 weeks, you've went from sitting on the bench, getting splinters in your arse, like, genuine quote, went from getting splinters to playing the 21s.
Yeah.
In two weeks. That's how quick football can change.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a big difference. And it'll be the same with you now. You're seeing the 21s, and then in the first team level, you can say to the gaffer, what about this guy?
Yeah.
Even if you're taking him in for training.
Mm-hmm. And that's obviously something that we're, I think,
because it is youth is where Highland League's going to go, because it's not like there's money.
And that's one thing the gaffer sort of installed when he came in here. The gaffer's sort of, with the help of obviously Gary Jameson and Scotty and John, they've put in place, managers came in with Titchy, and I think Johnny as well sort of involved. They've all put this structure in place, which is hopefully given the guys the best opportunity to become first team players. Yeah. Now, we need to be realistic. We'd love 11 of them to come to the first team.
Yeah.
But if we can get a few of them up to the first team, and still others playing at junior level, or just enjoying football. Just enjoying football.
Because I think that's a big thing for me. Like, me and Martin, Chris, my assistant, we spoke about this before. And with the 18s, we're sitting joint second at the moment.
Yeah.
And if we go the rest of the season and finish second, third, even get a sniff of first, but Alan doesn't take any of our 18s for first team contracts, it's pointless.
Yeah.
I'd rather, if you were looking at it, I'd rather finish mid-table and get 3 or 4 boys on first team contracts.
Yeah.
That's what's important to me.
Yeah.
Like, I love those kids and I want to see them do well. I would much rather get 4 or 5, because I know from talking to them, they're desperate to get a first-team contract. Mm-hmm. It's 17, 16 years old. First-team contract is the biggest thing in your life right now. Because you don't have kids. Let's be honest. You don't have kids. You don't have a mortgage. Getting a first-team contract at Highland League is fucking massive.
Yeah.
So, and you actually, when you're in with them all the time, you see just how important that is to them. And that's what it's all about for me. And I'm glad that you're doing the same thing. Like, yeah, the 21s, you're wanting to help out as much as you can.
And that's the thing. Like, let's be serious. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it.
Because it's so much like, well, that's four nights a week.
Yeah.
You're pretty much taking up your time. But you're just wanting to help them. And when you see the opportunity that they're getting, there's the majority of our 21s are out on loan. So they're playing juniors on a Saturday, then with us on a Monday, yeah, and then training with the first team once a week, maybe twice a week. We've had a few come up and play with us actually.
Yeah.
This year, so look, you want to give them the best opportunity, but at the end of the day, I would just do anything for the locals to be successful.
I've seen how you're like on the pitch, right? In terms of demanding, and we spoke about it earlier on with what Coco said. Are you the same in the dugout? Are you on them?
I wouldn't say on them, because
do you approach it different, like how you would speak to one of the young 21s opposed to how you would speak to someone like, let's just say Sophie, because we've obviously spoken about him?
Yeah, well, it's obviously different. So Scotty takes the 21s, yeah, and I just sort of assist them and help out, but we both want the same thing for, yeah, these boys. We both want to play the same way. But yeah, you put demands on them, especially, yeah, in training, because that's where you can really work with them. Yeah, yeah. Really work with them. But I feel you get the best opportunity to speak to them maybe before the game, yeah, or at half time, especially at that level, because let's be serious, go and play. Go and play, yeah, and make mistakes. I want them to go and make mistakes. Yeah. And, well, I don't want them to make mistakes, but go and make mistakes and then we can speak about it.
Yeah.
And then they'll maybe realise. And like I said, we've got the VO, so you can show them certain things, yeah, and as long as they can take something away from what we are putting forward to them, then that's the main thing.
Brilliant. So before we finish with some quick fire stuff, yep, how's this season going? You've had some weird results, eh?
It's up and down. The biggest thing for us is consistency.
Yeah, I think you beat Brock twice.
I think we speak about that a lot now. This is no disrespect to Strathspey, but you draw 2-2 at Strathspey, but the week before you're beating Fraserburgh away.
Yeah.
So to be a top team, which I want us to be, we need to be consistent and we need to be winning games and we really need to be putting teams away.
Yeah.
So, look, we're going through a bit of a transition period as well.
Yeah.
We need to be honest with ourselves there. We've had Kieran Shanks, who scores, well, what did Shanks, yeah, get last year? 30-odd, Neil Gold as well, Chopper retiring, Nacho retiring.
Yeah.
So we're going through a transition period, but the quality we've got is frightening. Like, yeah, I've said to you before, the ability we've got in that changing room, belief is a big thing. It's getting these boys to believe that we're a top, top side.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think it'll come, but we certainly just need to keep pushing each other on to try and be the best we can be, because we do have a great squad. We, yeah, do have a great squad. And like I say, I would do anything for this club to be successful.
Brilliant, mate. Right, so we're going to finish some quick fire stuff. I have gave you the heads up, so I'm hoping you've got some heat for me, but we'll see. So first one, toughest opponent.
Direct opponent. You've got a few. I couldn't single out one, if I'm being honest. Highland League days, you've got a few. Obviously, Andy Gregg, when, yeah, he was left wing for Brora, when they were flying, just a nightmare when he got the ball. You knew he was just going to run at you. You, yeah, don't know whether he was going to go inside, outside. Brilliant footballer. I think he won, I know he won Young Player. I don't know if he won the Player, yeah, League Player of the Year as well. So Andy Gregg, Scott Barber at Fraserburgh, just strong, knows where the ball is.
Yeah. But
it's good battles. I like playing against boys like that, because you get good battles,
yeah,
especially out of Fig and Andy Gregg.
Figg has got the biggest calf muscles I've ever seen in a person.
He's strong as an ox, that's for sure. But he's a top, top player and deserves, obviously, what he got last year. And then you look back a few years ago, Mitch Meginson.
Oh, yeah.
Just frightening.
Yeah.
Frightening. Wouldn't give you a minute's peace when the ball was at fullback, chasing you down. When the ball came up, he was, yeah, holding the end, scoring goals. I think he scored a hat-trick out here against us. Just unbelievable players.
Best played with?
Neil McLean.
unbelievable, eh?
Yeah, just...
Mate, see, when I used to come here, I had a season ticket here with my uncle. I love Nacho, eh?
Yeah.
Like, I just used to watch him and be like, you're unbelievable at football.
He could play anywhere on the park. He literally could and still be the best player. I personally think my first season at this club, I thought Nacho was going to win Hein League Player of the Year.
Yeah.
I really did. He was that good. He would.
Was he centre mid at that point?
Centre mid. He was just going forward. See, when Nacho broke forward, like, look at that goal there up on the wall, the one against Annan. Ridiculous. Yeah. I think I'm standing in the middle here telling him to pass. But just when he goes and he opens his legs, you're thinking, unbelievable. And I personally think Nacho could still play.
Yeah. Oh, 100% he could.
100%.
I was when he retired, I was desperate for Alan Hale to try and sign him. And I don't mind saying that.
Yeah. Still play, just brilliant player, brilliant leader. I think I put a thing up, captain, leader, legend. Yeah. Just an unbelievable guy.
Mate, genuine fact, right? I obviously followed Aberdeen as a boy, came here, had a season ticket here for like 3 years. I had the play, like, I worked for Aberdeen. I also worked for Loco, the two teams I supported. And I shit you not, meeting Nacho, I was more starstruck than I was meeting now McGinn, Johnny Hayes, Ferguson. I genuinely was like a little boy the first time I met Nacho, and he is the nicest guy.
Aye, unbelievable. It's funny, like, obviously him and Chopper retiring, it's like, two nicest guys, yeah. But here, what, to win games of football?
Yeah.
You know what it took to win a game of football and stuff like
could
that.
Could I do them, like, could Nacho crack in the changing rooms?
Aye, yeah.
Could he?
Yeah.
Because he's such a nice guy. Eh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen Natch crack a couple of times.
Any at you?
No, I think me and Natch have always been all right.
Is there anybody that you've played with that you kind of, that you've had a fair few ding-dongs? Teammate?
Oh, can't really think, actually.
Because you strike me as the boy that it would always be forgot about.
100%. I think there was one, actually, with Kieran Adams, actually. And Kiesel would batter me, simple as. But it was just football related. I think it was something about a pass or something like that. But see, to me, it's forgotten about.
Yeah.
As soon as that whistle blows, or we're in at half time, or in the social club by a pint, it's gone. But I think there was one with Kiesel just before he left the club. But nothing, Ken. It's not fighting or anything.
No,
like
it's
that.
It's just
wanting the best for the team or the individual. So,
yeah.
But no, never actually been one for proper falling out with guys. I just want the best for them and try to make them better.
Favourite away ground? I'll change it to favourite away ground in the Highland League.
Bellesley.
Christie Park, right, cool, perfect.
Never. No, because we've actually not got a good record up there. No, but when you're playing Fraserburgh away...
Mate, it's
well,
scary.
It could be one or two ways. If you're getting beat, they are
horrific.
Their sports are on yous all the time. But what do you call it? When I've been up at Fraserburgh, I remember it was one of my first seasons up there. I think we won 2-1, and go and take a throw in and fuck me. You're absolutely shiting yourself.
I was about to say there when I was there with Huntley, maybe my third ever away game. Remember Cammy Booth?
Yeah, yeah.
So Cammy pulled his hamstring, so I was in the changing rooms with him for a while, and then he wanted to go back out.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, right, we'll go, obviously, the dugouts are outside the changing rooms. So I was like, we'll go around the outside. And he was like, nah, let's go around outside the pitch. Mate, I have never been abused so much in my entire life. This is when I was still really big, and I was getting called every sort of fat name you've ever heard in your life.
But no, the good thing is, it's good banter. I love it. See, when they're like, well... I remember we won 2-0 that game, and it was like a throw-in, and obviously boys are like, whoa, slow down. You go and take a throw-in, boys are right at you. So after the game, you would still have a bit of banter with them back, and they take it.
Were you doing the old kicking the ball away, and you doing all the tricks of the trade?
I'm not sure. I think I was tying my laces, all my shinies fell down, all that. But no, I like Bellesley. Nairn as well, also good ground to play at. But no, probably Bellesley's one of the
brilliant.
Best.
Favourite game you've played in?
Favourite game? Cup final wins, probably.
Yeah.
The Turriff one, when we won 5-1.
Yeah.
That was my first season. Just to win my first trophy as a as a semi-professional footballer, kind of young boy, played the whole game. Just an unbelievable feeling to do it and lift a trophy. It's been a while since we've done it here, so I would love nothing more to do it again.
You've, for being a fullback, you've actually scored quite a few. When I was digging, when I was doing some research, I've noticed you've scored a few. Have you got a favourite goal?
Class the debut one, but
the first one.
No, I quite liked it. I scored out here a few weeks ago against Rothes.
Was that the winner?
No, 1-1.
Okay, yeah.
Decent little finish, actually. I was quite surprised with myself. I was rolling back the years with that one, centre midfield days. But no, it was good finish. So, but probably the first one. Probably the first one sticks by me, because obviously that's you off the mark, and not that I was ever going to be a goal scorer for Locos, but it was a great feeling.
Messi or Ronaldo?
Come on. Come on.
It's not a debate anymore.
Never
is it?
A debate.
Never a debate.
Never been a debate in the first place. Messi every day of the week.
I think
I'm a Liverpool fan as well, so of course I'm going to say Messi.
But
I just think he's unbelievable.
I think I said this to Gregor on the last one. It was there was a debate, but I think this World Cup and the way Ronaldo's behaved recently.
Yeah.
Mate, you're obviously in the Highland League. I'm involved in the Highland League. A lot of people listen to the Highland League. If people acted like Ronaldo does in the Highland League, someone would chap him in the chin.
100%.
Fact. If someone walked off the bench,
yeah.
Could you imagine someone did that in your teams gone by?
I hope there's not been any. But no. No, it's just it's different, Ken. At that level, you're a superstar, but especially for Highland League, Ken, boys are giving up their time to play football, so you would respect, Ken, you would just say, look, be there for your teammates and don't be a dick, really. Don't be just doing whatever you want, and we've been quite lucky at the Locos. You've never had anyone like that, so that's one thing that we've had, is always a good group of boys.
Very last question. You can take this whatever way you want. Longest in the shower.
Well, we could go two ways here. Who spends the longest? Or we'll just end Neil Gold. There we go.
Thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, and all the best rest of the season.
Top man, appreciate
Thank you, mate.